This is Jody Apple.
Welcome to Are You Listening? I want you to read ahead in the text of Galatians, thinking about its teaching, raising questions concerning the ideas, words, and subjects found within it. Let's get started with today's program. Today, we're going to focus on the purpose of Galatians by looking at a number of popular and academic references. In our first program in this series, we emphasize the importance of reading and studying the Bible in context, focusing especially on the meaning of biblical words and thoughts, again, in context. Today, we will do two things. First, we will notice some comments about the purpose and problems that inhere in the Galatian letter. And second, we will return to the importance of biblical words in context, specifically as those words help us to develop an overall picture of what we read. The following six citations, some from introductions to the book of Galatians in popular study Bibles, and others from more popular but academic references, mark just how important the Galatian letter is. This material comes from the New King James Version of the Open Bible concerning the book of Galatians. In its introductory paragraph, we read this: "The Galatians, having launched their Christian experience by faith, seem content to leave their voyage of faith and chart a new course based on works, a course Paul finds disturbing. His letter to the Galatians is a vigorous attack against the gospel of works and a defense of the gospel of faith." Again, that comes from the Open Bible, the New King James Version, published by Thomas Nelson in 2012. You can find that information on page 1194 of that edition. The following remarks come from New Testament Introduction by Louis Burkhoff. He says this with reference to the Galatian letter: "The epistle to the Galatians has a great deal in common with that written to the Romans. They both treat the same general theme, that is, that by the works of the law, no man will be justified before God. The same Old Testament passage is quoted in Romans 4:3 and Galatians 3:6, and the same general argument is built on it, that the promise belongs to those who have faith like that which Abraham had even before he was circumcised. In both epistles, Paul aims at reconciling his admission that the Mosaic law came from God with his contention that it was not binding on Christians. Besides these similarities, there are also several verbal agreements and parallel passages in these letters." The following remarks come from D.A. Carson's and Douglas Moo's text, An Introduction to the New Testament. "Without pausing for the customary thanksgiving, Paul expresses astonishment that the Galatians are deserting not only the gospel, but God himself, the one who called you by the grace of Christ," chapter 1, verse 6. "For the gospel that was preached to the Galatians can be changed by neither apostles nor angels," chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. He insists that his gospel was given him by revelation from Christ, and relates his persecuting activities and his few contacts with the earlier apostles to show that his gospel could not have derived from mere reliance on what they said in chapter 1, verses 11 through chapter 2, verse 5. And far from the Jerusalem leaders insisting that Gentiles become Jews, they agreed with Paul when he insisted that Titus, who had accompanied him to Jerusalem, should not be circumcised," chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Paul and the Jerusalem leaders agreed to a division of labor, with Peter at work as apostle to the Jews, while Paul was called as the apostle to the Gentiles, apparently with the implication that Gentiles would not be required to keep the Mosaic law, chapter 2, verses 6 through 10. When later, at Antioch, Peter withdrew from table fellowship with Gentile Christians, perhaps under pressure from opponents in Jerusalem, Paul took issue with him and pointed out that even Jews were not saved by works of the law, but by faith in Christ, chapter 2, verses 11 through 14, a fundamental perspective with which Peter himself would have agreed. Compare, for example, Acts chapter 10, verses 1 through Acts chapter 11, verse 18. Sinners who are justified in Christ have died to the law and live by faith in the Son of God. Galatians 2, verses 15 through 21. The Apostle Paul is nervous about any theology that appears to rival Christ. He cannot abide the thought that Christ died for nothing. Chapter 2, verse 21. In the New King James Version Study Bible, published by Thomas Nelson in 2007, on page 1843, the version edited by Earl Rodmacher, Ronald Barclay, and H. Wayne Allen, we read these words: "In the whole Bible, there is no more passionate, comprehensive, yet concise statement of the truth of the gospel than Galatians. Salvation is through faith in Jesus Christ alone." Chapter 2, verse 16, and chapter 3, verse 11 and 12. No work can earn salvation. Paul's succinct refutation of the Judaizers in this letter has transformed the lives of many, from Martin Luther to John Wesley. In general, people want to earn their salvation by works that can easily be identified. In this letter, Paul reveals the arrogance of such thinking. It amounts to a desertion of the truth of the gospel and a turning away from God, chapter 1, verse 6. We can stand justified before God only through faith in Jesus Christ. Nothing else will save us. And from the popular text by Gordon Fee and Douglas Stewart, How to Read the Bible Book by Book, A Guided Tour, on page 341, we note this about the Galatian letter. Like 2 Corinthians chapter 10 through chapter 12, this letter is clearly three-sided. Paul to the Galatians against the agitators. Paul is obviously red hot, just like God in the Old Testament when his love for Israel has been spurned. Full of the Holy Spirit and in keeping with the nature of rhetoric under such circumstances, Paul writes with passion and forcefulness. Here, you will encounter caustic and biting jibes at the agitators, as well as fervent, sometimes cajoling pleas to the Galatians not to give in to them. What could have inflamed such intensity? The answer: the gospel is at stake, especially as it includes the Gentiles, law-free, in the people of God, not to mention Paul's own calling as apostle to the Gentiles. If the Galatians cave in to circumcision, everything God has done in Jesus Christ and is doing by the Spirit to include Gentiles in the people of God will have come to nothing. Chapter 2, verse 21. God's story itself is on the line. And in the last reference, from a survey of the New Testament by Robert H. Gundry, published by Zondervan in 2012, taken from pages 387 and 388, we receive these words about the overall theme and purpose of the Galatian letter. Though a few scholars think that Paul's opponents in Galatia were semi-pagan, semi-Jewish syncretists, perhaps of a Gnostic sort, it is far more likely that the letter to the Galatians has to do with the Judaizing controversy about which the Jerusalem Council met, Acts 15. As with that council, so too with Galatians, it is almost impossible to overestimate how historically crucial were the theological issues at stake. Many of the first Christians, being Jewish, continued in large measure their Jewish mode of life, including attendance at the synagogue and temple, offering of sacrifices, observance of Mosaic rituals and dietary taboos, and social aloofness from Gentiles. Conversion of Gentiles forced the church to face several important questions. Should Gentile Christians be required to submit to circumcision and practice the Jewish way of life, as Gentile proselytes to Judaism were required to do? To those Gentile Christians unwilling to become wholly Jewish, should the church grant a second-class citizenship as for Gentile God-fearers in Judaism? Most importantly, what makes a person Christian? faith in Christ solely or faith in Christ plus adherence to the principles and practices of Judaism. These six references mark just how important the Galatian letter is for our understanding today. In the time that remains, let's return to what we introduced in our first broadcast, that is, the significance of key terms in the Galatian letter. For example, Christ's name appears 39 times, the word law 32 times, God 31 times, faith 21 times, spirit 18 times, flesh 17 times, gospel 12 times, and so forth. The purpose of Galatians, as briefly grasped by these and other terms, centers on a specific problem. The words law, faith, gospel, Gentile, circumcised, and works help to pinpoint that problem. But the statements in Galatians about Christ, God, Spirit, Jesus, promise, Son, Abraham, and so forth aid in determining the solution to the problem. As the citations and word studies we just noted reveal, the key problems and their solutions in Galatians are at the center of the New Testament's teaching about salvation. The problems addressed in Galatians 2,000 years ago are still, in large measure, the problems addressed in churches throughout the world today. What is faith? How does it work? Does it work at all? What is grace? How does grace work in cooperation with faith? What can we learn about the Galatian letter that will help us better understand our faith today? These questions, and others like them, make a study of the Galatian letter worthwhile. We hope that you will join us on this journey to lay open the text and to spell out its meaning for us today.